This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:43 in the evening and you're with Lynn on the Evening Edition. We're talking right now about the raids that we saw happening that were carried out on migrant communities over the weekend, and there have been some questions that were raised there about violation of human rights and also just really what was the point. And so that's what we're going to be diving into. If you'd like to weigh in, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now on the line with us, we have Gerald Joseph, who is the commissioner at Suhakam. I think earlier I might have misspoken, said vice chairman. I'm very sorry. Gerald is the commissioner. And thank you very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
So the raids are a jarring departure from the previous approach which the government was taking to curb the spread of COVID-19 among foreign nationals and migrant workers. But just yesterday, Defence Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob said the government has the right to act against illegal immigrants. What do you think were the main drivers of this U-turn?
I think his statement is not wrong, because according to law, it is very much within the law to act against any migrants or any persons in Malaysia without valid documents. The only question here is, and I want to qualify this statement to say that this is unprecedented in Malaysia in terms of managing a country under like a lockdown situation, a pandemic, public health. So all our actions are actually learning as we go along. You know? So I think this is one lesson we can learn about the raids, and what was the drivers of the sudden U-turn, or after what they have said before. There was a growing sentiment. I think you mentioned it earlier when you spoke, that there was already a lot of public outbursts directing their anger towards the migrants or the refugees in Malaysia. And so it seemingly seemed like, because also our neighbour Singapore was, there was a growing number, sudden hike and jump with the migrant workers. So that sentiment also coupled with some officials or senior leaders making comments about the Rohingyas or the migrants. And that sort of cascaded a very negative public feeling, which is unwarranted. And I can understand Malaysians are getting angry because we are desperate, economically down, we are in lockdown mode. And so I can only imagine our minds thinking, how can there others, our resources are limited. But so the action seemingly is wanting to prove a point that Malaysia has laws, which we do. And I think I'm quoting the minister from his Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri's two press conferences that said that we are very strong in our action in containing our borders to ensure no one tries to run across without documents, which is very good and very much needed, not only for COVID, but all along our borders should be secure. And then he went on to say that if our borders are so strong now, how can we not take action against those without documents in our country? And this is where I think this is not the right moment for such an action to be taken, because this is a larger question that needs to be answered, has not been answered. And I think the previous government attempted to have some independent committee to address larger questions. And that large question is not the moment now. Now we are under a public health crisis, where all of us are trying our best to comply, to follow the government directives, to take stock of what's happening. And suddenly you bring this security element in to prove a point. And I really think there's a lot of danger about, as I think you quoted Tanaganita saying that, and also Suhakam in our statement yesterday said that we worry if any of the migrants without documents, undocumented migrants, who now hear such possible rape, they will go even deeper into hiding. And this actually defeats the purpose of our Ministry of Health in trying to announce that testing was free and it's open for all, in order that we can make sure that Malaysia is a safe and healthy place to be during this pandemic.
So is there anything known right now about the current status of the migrants who have been detained?
Well, apart from the numbers announced by the minister yesterday, he mentioned a number of 586. I think they are detained in the detention center, probably in Bukit Jalil or the depots around here. That's all we know. And of course, once you're detained, then a lot of other questions come up, like what are the conditions in the detention centers? And these are groups of people coming from outside. So although they are tested negative, and that's very good because the Ministry of Health has tested them and they are negative, but they are still coming from outside. There's possible brush with COVID virus. And now this group is going into a detention facility. And if the detention facility was free and safe before, now it's become even more vulnerable, and the risk has just gone up, both to the staff and other detention centers. So at one level, why increase the risk to a safer place like the detention facilities that have not recorded any COVID cases, thank God? And also, why put fear into the hundreds of thousands of other migrant workers who now will not even come out, even if they have a fever or a cough or a sore throat, for fear that now if they come out for testing, after you're tested positive or negative, your name is taken and you may get arrested. So it is really a counterproductive move at this point. And it does not say anything, neither one to challenge the laws in the country. The laws are there. It was designed to address such wrongdoings of people without documents. But this is not the moment. The moment of crisis now is a public health issue, and the government must reflect and evaluate based on which is the priority. And I think we know the priority is a pandemic in our hands.
Mm. You referenced facilities there, and you know how we will be seeing people taken to depots, hospitals, and so on. Have you been there? What can you tell us about the conditions of those facilities?
So, by and large, the facilities are not the best of conditions, especially the older ones. The newer ones have far better facilities. But the first question to ask is whether there's overcrowding. Already before COVID, we were already informed that there was overcrowding in some of the detention centers. So these numbers will only increase that, because during the COVID places, immigration told us that the detention facilities are closed, so there's no in or no out. But this has just increased the numbers in. That's one. Two is some of the facilities lack basic facilities like water lacking, too many people in one cell. And usually when we go there, there are health concerns like skin disease happening because of the conditions there. And water problem is not a fault of the immigration. It's an infrastructure problem, but it's still a problem because migrants, those detained, need water to be healthy and to stay healthy. So I would say conditions are not the best, and it would not, at this moment when we need people to be healthy and not vulnerable because of the COVID virus, this actually makes it even more difficult for detention facilities.
And according to reports, some of those detained include young children, as young as a year old even. What are the rights of children under these circumstances?
Our position has all been, I think, children should never be detained in such a facility. And there should be alternative detention to children. So the Department of Welfare, Jabatan Kebajikan Malaysia, should get involved, and the children with the mother or father should be placed in alternative forms of detention. So not a jail-like, because any child who goes through such an experience will be traumatized and marked for life, and they don't deserve that. It's not their fault that they're out on the streets or without documents. So that has been the position, and sadly, the government of Malaysia, successive governments, have not been able to find a solution on developing this alternative to detention for children. And I think it's high time we do so. So those children who were just detained recently also would suffer the same fate as other children who actually continue to be detained if there is an operation that arrests large numbers of people. And if the children are there, they also get detained.
Overall, then, what might have been a more humane approach to containing the spread of COVID-19 in these vulnerable communities?
I would think First of all, the initial messaging was correct. Focus on public health. Assure all people in Malaysia, including migrants, refugees, that don't worry, that we want to handle the health issue, and that security measures against you or to check on you will be, at this moment, temporarily suspended because there are a greater concern. And that message was getting out well and good. There were also flyers in different languages that was being sent out to many of them. Of course, being a very vulnerable and poor community, many of them had daily wage earners. The bosses never paid money. Many of the Rohingyas are actually struggling. They are daily wage earners. So with no money, poverty increases. They're struggling. So many NGOs started raising funds and helping them. And I think it's only fair that Malaysians think of others in our country, because in good times, we benefited from their labor. We benefited from all their energy and their toiling in both the formal and informal sector. And now when we are struggling, we should not forget those are even more marginalized and poorer than us. And I think kudos to many Malaysians who actually put in a lot of money to support such poorer groups in our country. So a humane way would have been to not put the fear of the security apparatus or laws, but to actually assure them and tell them that if you're sick, come up, we will take care of you. And this is where I think there should be no special treatment for migrant workers, which is an often point mentioned in the Facebook, which is now ablaze with very xenophobic sentiments, saying that, oh, this is why special treatment for migrants or refugees. There is no such special treatment. If you go and meet them in their homes, in their communities, they live below poverty, they live in very difficult conditions, their mouth, the food is not assured, and they're sending money back home. So I don't think there's anything special. It's just that as human beings with dignity, the least we could do is ensure that their health is okay, that the food, if they don't have food to eat at this present moment, some form of support, because in normal times they manage on their own, but this is not a normal time. So I think this is probably a more human approach, which I thought the messaging in the beginning from the Ministry of Health as well as the National Security Council were correct. But I think the raids now sort of a countermeasure to what they said initially.
Yeah, and you know, even saying all this, many more foreign workers are expected to resume work during the CMCO, and they will be doing so amidst this news and amidst all this sentiment that we've been talking about. Are they equipped right now with the right information and support to stay safe and protected?
I think this now very much depends on the message and the instruction by government to employers, because now it falls on the lap and the hands of the employer to ensure compliance with the health protocols, because it's very clear what needs to be done. It's been repeated, I think, 1,000 times by every government official, and I think Malaysians are picking it up, including employers. The only question is, will there be shortcuts? And that should not happen. So the question is, how do we ensure compliance that the migrant worker who works for an employer will make sure there's face masks, a sanitizer, social distancing? This poor person will just work as instructed by the boss. So the boss is now liable for the health of the people. But I think by and large, because of the action and activity of so many, I've seen like e-flyers by the UNHCR, which is the Refugee Center, the International Red Cross, International Labour Organization, have been doing like 18 to 20 different language of what COVID is, what to do, what not to do. I think that has been going around in the WhatsApp in their circles. That may help them to now realize and prepare or what it is. And if you go to any supermarket or a shop or what now, the migrants are also wearing face masks and going in and buying. So I think the message is out there clear, but I'm only worried that if they run in to hide those without document for fear, and that is where the danger of a new cluster emerging. And I think that's why we need to have a different approach and not have a xenophobic approach that is happening on the Facebook and by Malaysians at large, who are so angry with the migrants and the refugees at this point of time, and forgetting that they are just human beings, so happen locked in this place during this period of time, like many Malaysians who are locked in other countries, unable to come back because no flight and whatever not. So I think it is incumbent upon the government officials to actually stop that xenophobic rhetoric, to bring down the temperature of such discussions in the social media spaces and say that they are human beings. There is no such discussion as who is better, who is lesser. This country can manage because as of today, migrant workers are back at work. They are doing all the work that we need them to do. And so they are still very much part of the economic fabric and much needed in Malaysia.
And Gerald, we just have a little bit under a minute left. So we've seen the police confirming that they're investigating SCMP journalists for their reporting of the migrant operations. Do you see this potentially as an early warning sign of what the future might hold for press freedom here in our country?
That's a worrying sign, but I would hope that our 20-point upgrade in the international ranking actually would give a sign to the Malaysian new government and the minister to defend the press freedom space, because don't shoot the messenger. Without the messenger, you would never know what's happening in the country. And that's why protecting of journalists is always important. The report can be verified, can be checked, can be counted, because the media will reprint the other side. But I think attacking the journalists is a serious affront on rights of freedom of expression. And journalists also as defenders of truth and information. So I really hope this is a misstep because of the eagerness to take care of COVID. But I think government must step in to say that no such action should be taken against any journalists.
Gerald, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
That was Gerald Joseph, Commissioner of Suhakam, speaking to us about last Thursday's raid on foreign workers and migrants in Kuala Lumpur. If you have any thoughts, again, you can, of course, call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.